The text that Deb Gunther read was wonderful. Thank you, Deb, for doing that. Did you hear the part in Isaiah? Paya, do you have that first slide of mine? Ha! The Lord says, ha! You who hide a plan too deep for the Lord, whose deeds are in the dark. Ha! Have you heard? I don't remember ever reading that in the Bible before. And there are the other translations from different versions. You see, the King James just jumps right into saying, woe upon them. And the New International says, woe to thee. But I like the ha. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to know languages well enough to have the sense of when you're reading it and being able to get all the nuance out of it? I mean, we make jokes with puns and cultural references. And some years ago, I went to the movie theater and they were showing one of those movies that makes fun of all the movies that have gone on over time. And I was in there. There was a lot of teenagers. I was much older than most of them. And they would do something and say something that all of the teenagers would laugh, and I'd think, I don't get it. And then something else would happen, and I don't get it. And then along comes this fighter jet scene, and this one guy says, I got a bogey on my tail. And it cuts to a scene of Humphrey Bogart sitting in a jet. And I laughed, and I was the only one. So we have all these cultural references and the embeddedness in our time and all of the things that happen. And so here's language out of the Old Testament. And the scholars and the New Revised Standard Version felt that was a good translation. Ha! You who hide a plan too deep for the Lord. This should be the next slide here. After it would be that one. That's it. You who hide a plan too deep for the Lord, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us? And you turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? You know, it is human arrogance. Humans are incredibly arrogant, aren't we? And I have to admit my own arrogance in even saying that humans are arrogant, but we won't go down that road too far. But for us to think that we could think of something that was too deep for God to figure out. And that's one thing about criminals. They think they can get away with everything through some deception, through some manipulation, through lies and convolutions. And I wonder if humanity doesn't get caught up in that, thinking that we can delude God. And here's the passage talking about that. Do God-fearing people delude themselves about God? I can't help wondering. I can't help worrying about that. And I can't help wondering, do I delude myself about some things, about who I am and how I am and where God is in my life? Humility is hard for us, isn't it? But I understand sometimes things seem a little out of control around us, and we want to take charge of things. We want to order things, and we want to set rules and establish things. I remember driving down through a subdivision one day, and there was a sign, professionally made, printed sign. It says, if your car drips oil, don't park on my driveway. And I thought, okay, well, none of my vehicles are ever going to park on your driveway is the good skin one thing. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought, he'd never live in my neighborhood here in Aurora. I live next to a lake, and the lake has geese. And geese leak a lot. And it doesn't matter. They can hit a horizontal wall underneath an eave. I don't know how they do that. But that poor fella, he would have a heck of a time, wouldn't he, with his driveway. Or gal, I don't know. So why can we be, we shouldn't laugh at people that become obsessed over little things, because trying to have control over anything is a step in and us trying to have control. And that is a failure because we are not in control. God is here and God is in control. And God is waiting to see how we will respond to things that are out of our control. That's the whole test. Not to control things, to control us. So, I chose Psalm 29 out of Isaiah, specifically because that's what's quoted in the New Testament. You heard it there. Jesus reads to them and he says, you remember it was said, because these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is a human commandment learned by rote. He's talking about how we can go through all the motions of faithfulness, how we can even quote scripture and know all of these things and have all these quotes and be able to do this, and our hearts are miles away. And it hasn't changed since the writing of this with Isaiah back just around the Babylonian exile period. So all the rules here, you hear Jesus talking about these rules that are traditional rules that have to be followed. This is the way we do things. And they are rules that have been in place, rules that have been that are being enforced, but they are human-created rules that have been embedded in worship traditions. And they are rules and rules and rules that speak way beyond God's rules. And Jesus came and he didn't ignore the rules, but he said, let's back up and get the first rule ahead of all of them. That first commandment, that one commandment, love one another. Do that first. There's a DJ on the KUVO, the local radio station, Kim. I don't know her last name, which is odd, but she always ends her program by saying, do good, take no prisoners. And then she always pauses and says, and do it with love. That's all right. You can tell she's a little firebrand and she's got her opinions and she's out there for her causes and she's just a dynamic gal. But do it with love. Got to put that before everything else. Is this being done with love? Is this where we are? They come to Jesus in another parable. We didn't read it this morning, but you're probably familiar with it. They bring a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery. Not accused, caught in the act. So there's no question of guilt. This woman is obviously guilty of a transgression whose punishment is written clearly. Take her outside the city gates and stone her to death. Kill this person. Intriguingly, it doesn't say anything about the men. We won't go down that path too far. Nonetheless, here is this woman caught in the act of the adultery, and they bring her to Jesus. What do you say, Master? And you remember what he responds, that whichever one of you has no sin, who is completely pure and free of error, free of any discrepancies, cast the first stone. They all walk away, leaving the woman with Jesus, and he says, sin no more, and go on your way. You're not condemned by me or by anyone. The first rule is love one another. That goes before any of the other rules, regardless of how written in stone, how firm they are, how compact, how important those rules are. If your driveway gets fouled by grease, it's just the way it is. Geese have bad emissions. Cars have emissions. That's life. And how we deal with it is the question, and how we are to be. I would fail if I were a theologian that had to know all of the Old Testament laws memorized and have them in order. Orthodox Judaism, it's hard work. There are rules and guidelines, and I've told you before, you can't turn on and off a light switch on the Sabbath. That's doing work. There's and they have to have ways to work around that, and the foods you can eat and the foods you can't eat. And we heard that confronted here. Jesus telling them, it's okay to eat any foods. This edict about foods, it's not what goes in that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's the ones that we spout out. Those are the problem. And he names those and he calls those into account. And he backs us all back up again to that one law, that one rule, love one another. All right, my voice is fading. Let us worship not by rote. Let us worship from the depths of our hearts, and let us worship the Lord God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Amen.